Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand.
You guys.
Wait, I just can't get over right now. You guys go to YouTube because this is like, this is embarrassing, but it's hilarious and I kind of love it. Me and Samantha are literally wearing the same exact color, crew neck, plain forest green, and not planned, and also
no,
not the same sweatshirt technically. I think mine is from a random dusty vintage store. Like, I don't know how these things happen to us, but
mine does have a little Ralph Lauren pony on it. If you really
mine is not in, Ralph Lauren. Mine is Randall or whatever that sports brand is that was big in the 90s, you know?
That stuff is comfy, honestly.
But if you wanted to see some like really cohesive branding and aesthetics, like head to YouTube and watch there, because we're about to get into the debate, because we waited. We were like, no, we need to do record post debate at some point, and not morning after, not day after, minutes after. And we are, I think we're both buzzing. Would you say that?
When I tell you my adrenaline is through the roof, I was a little, like before, I was busy day. I was a little sleepy. People are texting me, are you ready? You're ready. And I was like, honestly, like I kind of need a nap. Like wish it weren't so late, would have some coffee kind of vibes. And then it started, the curtains, the fake, you know, the dramatic curtains, if you will, went to the side and it began. And I was like, we are so awake. We are thriving and going to places. That's how.
To be honest, I didn't even, it didn't like hit me all day, all week that it was even happening. And then, you know, right when the broadcast turns on, they're like, okay, here we go. And it goes to the stage. And I guess we can just start there. We can start from the top of like the two of them walk out on the stage and Trump scurries to his corner. And Kamala says, no, I'm going to follow your ass and I'm going to find you. And I'm going to come shake your little hand, little. And I'm going to tell you, let's have a good debate. And that's our girl.
Literally, boss move from the fucking moment she walked on that
he
stage,
was so
which
scared.
We knew.
He looks like he such a little pussy from just from that alone. It's so good. She was like, no, I'm going to follow you to your podium, sir. We're going to handshake like real men.
And you know what I like loved about that? Because there was like a later moment where he tried to like pull her, you know, one of her classic phrases or moments in like the pop culture political space, the I'm speaking phrase. But like, I felt like she kind of pulled from his playbook of back in the day when he was debating Hillary and he creeped behind her. And granted, she wasn't creepy. She was just a motherfucking boss. Okay. Like
that was for sure.
Make
Hillary
sure
revenge.
Like those are for sure. For sure. Like it was so
she's
good,
a girl's girl.
So classic. Oh, she is a girl's girl for sure.
Yeah.
There is, like, hello, but I'm so buzzing. I don't even know where to start.
Well, I took notes of just like I was in my little like Slacks and all of my signals and all of my things. And every time I said something funny, I saved it to my notes. And the first thing I have on my list is the immigration section, because Miss Girl said he's going to make up some bullshit lies that are going to like, you know, make the American people more down on Dems for immigration issues. So she said, I'm going to bait him. I'm going to bait him about his crowd sizes and he's going to spiral. And holy shit, I've never seen a spiral. Tom Brady's never seen a spiral that good. You know, like he absolutely lost his shit. And that was like one of my favorite moments, I think, of the entire night.
It was hook, line, sinker, literally. It was like the craftsmanship on the bait and switch will be studied in history books and in campaign debriefs and trainings for years to come. It is, oh my God, I lost it when she did that. And then his reaction was so immediate. He couldn't help himself. He just went right for it. Like nothing else she said like resonated, which honestly, I don't think anything was really resonating inside that like very empty, hollow little circle of something known as a head and a skull. But like generally speaking, like he couldn't resist.
It's his kryptonite, truly. Like it is the thing that he will die on this hill, like his crowd sizes. And it also like, well, then he went on to like, obviously be like, no, mine are bigger. It's like saying that like she has no crowds. Meanwhile, literally she's selling out stadiums that like fucking Beyonce just did the day before.
Can we just also add into that? That Hannibal Lecter has never had so much press.
Did he say it again? I didn't hear it.
No, she went right for it. She was describing essentially like his bullshit and was like, meanwhile, like this guy, I don't remember the exact quote, but like,
yes,
and talks about like Hannibal Lecter, blah, 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 blah.
And there was something else she said too that was so good about like what his rallies.
You know, one of my favorites was though. Is when she was talking, or he was talking about his like love affair with Putin, and then she was like rebuttaling, and she was like, "He would eat you for lunch."
Right. Right.
It's so good, and it's true.
So good.
He literally. And Putin, I'm sorry. Like,
Putin's literally over like, there in Russia with
laughing
a half chub, so excited. Like,
I have not heard the phrase "a half chub" in a minute. In a minute.
Yeah. Wow. Also, to circle back to the immigration bait and switch, what that also led to of like what he ended up saying on the issue of immigration, we got two zingers. We got immigrants are eating people's pets, which is so fucking unhinged and wrong in every way possible. And then the other thing was the famous one. It's actually maybe might be like the world's best meme moment.
Ben Sheehan put it on a thing. Hold on.
Yeah, she wants to do transgender operations on illegal immigrants in prisons. Like, triple whammy. Triple whammy. Someone I work with was like, the intersectionality play there, incredible. Good for you, Trump.
Like, the level of things literally intersecting is just truly, like, the best word. What?
My boss just said Taylor with a bunch of exclamation points. We might have breaking news.
Hold on. Wait. Hold on.
Wait. Wait. I actually like was thinking today. I was like, if he is an absolute menace, what?
Wait. Oh my God. 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 Okay.
I was just thinking this today. I'm like, she might say something after the debate.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Like many of you, I watched the debate tonight. If you haven't already, now is a great time to do your research on the issues at hand and the stances these candidates take on topics that matter to you most. As a voter, I make sure to watch and read everything I can about their proposed policies and plans for their country. Recently, I was made aware that AI of me falsely endorsing Donald Trump's presidential run was posted to his site. It really conjured up my fears around AI and the dangers of spreading misinformation. Brought me to the conclusion that I need to be very transparent about my actual plans for this election as a voter. The simplest Hold on, I am shaking. Simplest way to combat misinformation is with the truth. I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in 2024.
Oh my God.
I'm voting for Kamala Harris because she fights for the rights and causes. Wow, I'm really going on a roll here. I believe you know what? It wasn't me. There's a typo. Need a warrior to champion them. I think she is a steady-handed, gifted leader, and I believe we can accomplish so much more in this country if we are led by calm, not chaos. I was so heartened and impressed by her selection of running mate Tim Walz, who has been standing up for LGBTQ+ rights, IVF, and a woman's right to her body for decades. I've done my research. I've made my choice. Research is all yours to do, and the choice is yours to make. I also want to say, especially to first-time voters, remember that in order to vote, you have to be registered. I also find it much easier to vote early. Link where to register and find early voting dates at info. Sorry, with love and hope. Taylor Swift, Childless Candidate.
Holy fuck. Oh my God.
My God.
Oh my God. Samantha, I'm not kidding. I was just like, you know, in my apartment by myself thinking today, I was like, Trump's probably going to be heinous tonight. And like, I think it would be a good night for her to just like do the endorsement, like post craziness for everyone to be like, okay, yeah, like he's not it. Holy shit. It happened. Fuck.
This is
unreal.
Thank
God.
the way this man is going to spiral even further into the depths, somebody like make sure that like you're watching Truth Social, because there's going to be some shit coming out on that site tonight. I'll tell you that much.
My
ketchup is going to be flying.
Oh my
that
God.
That is holy shit. No words.
I have no words. Wow. Guys, I know you're like listening to this, who knows at what point, but we just learned the news and wow. I said before this might be the best night of my life, and I think that just confirmed it.
It really
us in look, our green crew necks with sweaters. I can't get over this visual.
It's so
Oh my god.
Like, well, no, we haven't peaked because we still need a win. You know what I mean?
Of
like
course,
then
of course.
That will be the best night of our lives.
But we'll made see. Strides okay, tonight.
First night of best night of our lives. This is like in the process, right? And then next will be when Kamala Harris wins the presidency as official. And then the next one will be the day of inauguration.
Yeah, when like Taylor and Beyonce perform. Fuck.
Yeah, I really wish my extreme reaction facial expressions were like a lot more attractive than they are, but they are like really something.
How do we move on from this moment? Like, I don't think we can.
I think we have to.
And now the text I'm getting, I'm overwhelmed. But oh my God.
This is,
I'm not even the Swiftie, but I'm just like, obviously, as someone who works in electoral politics too, you're like, okay, when's the endorsement coming? When's the one and only endorsement coming?
Well, I think it's also, same boat. Like, I like her. I'm a fan of some of her music, but I'm not like diehard, like, oh my God. But she does, as we've known, even like with that time that she posted like a register to vote link and 35,000 people registered to vote. Like, she has an incredible impact. It's honestly like it's insurmountable and something that you can't even quite describe. And so for her to come out and put her foot down. Yeah. But you know what? I think she like did it right, as much as like obviously the two of us could not agree with whatever Brittany Mahomes thinks, says, does, whatever in the political realm.
Conservative family members, I get it. This is, but like, I also heard like people who were there were like watching her obviously the whole time, not even watching tennis. And their boyfriends are best friends and colleagues and all of the things. And they're at the US Open together in a box. Of course, she's going to say hello. And then apparently they like literally didn't speak or engage after that.
I will honestly, one of my best friends was at the game and she had like a straight eye view of their box and was like sending me pics. I'll have to ask her. I'm curious like what her thoughts are, like if they interacted a lot. Because I know she was not watching the tennis.
No.
Call out for you.
Right.
But regardless, I just think I think it was a really smart play to wait for the debate.
Yeah. So people see too, like the crazy Trump shit. To also see like Kamala, she did so well, which like, let's get into that because like,
I literally
think that she debated and performed live better than any speeches I've seen, any interviews I've seen. And like, there's been this like narrative and rhetoric around Kamala that like, she reads a teleprompter, she's not doing press, she yada yada. And she proved tonight, she's like, I know my shit. I know my shit. And I know how to talk to the American people. And she did that tonight. And she fucking killed it.
She really
and then
did.
Meanwhile, we have fucking Pipsqueak on the other side, just literally spewing Pipsqueak. Nonsense.
Beyond nonsense. Everything. I literally was like, I need MapQuest to come back into use just to be able to understand what he's trying to say. Like, what is the destination he's trying to arrive at? Because nothing was making sense besides that 99% of it was just lies, whatever he was like trying to get to. But putting him aside on that, she was on fire. The way she described stories regarding reproductive rights, the way she like,
oh, she really made repro. It
so specific in terms of what's going on in this country and what women are facing. Amazing narrative building that she was doing when she kept talking about her plans for small business, for childcare, for, you know, seniors in this country, when she was also then talking about what it was like before we had Obamacare and pre-existing conditions being an issue that stopped people from being covered. I mean, so many of these things, she really painted such a specific picture of like what her plan is, how she views what's going on in this country and where we need to go in such a positive way of stop. Also, too, and she pulled actually a little bit from like Shapiro's book in this of like, stop shit talking to American people. Like, we are going somewhere. We are going forward. We are.
And you saw that in the closing, in the closings, like the vast contrast between the two of their answers. Like, she painted out a picture of like what she sees for the future and the vision. And he was like just trying to bring her down, which like, and then it, you know, what pisses me off too is like, right, there's this like narrative too that mostly coming from the right, but that also is coming from the press and like the media of like, she doesn't have a policy. She doesn't have a plan. And first of all, she like literally laid it out all debate. And then I, like a commentator after, like right after, I was just like listening for a second. And then this woman was like, you know, she didn't really like get into her policy or her plan. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I can't. And then meanwhile, on the other hand, where's his?
Not to mention, where's his plan? Asked about healthcare and going, it's a concept. There's a plan. We'll have a plan sometime in the near future.
Wait.
Man was president for 4 years. 4 years. He's coming at Kamala thinking, oh, you haven't done anything. You haven't done anything. You were the one that led us to where the country was and why we're in recovery mode. Like,
this is one of the quotes, too. This is about Afghanistan. He goes, they were supposed to do this, 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 and this, and they didn't do it. It's like direct quote. Sir.
Me fighting with like a situationship, like literally. Yeah, you're so serious.
He's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And then who's Abdul?
Who's Abdul? Literally? Justice for Abdul, like.
Except for probably
he did not need his name thrown around on that debate stage. Abdul's like, I didn't ask to be here. Like, please.
Oh my God.
I have crazy. some more things.
Let's hear
it. Let's talk about Kamala quotes, a couple that I have.
Yeah.
Dictators know that they can get you with flattery and favors. Good.
And when she also said that he's easy to manipulate.
Period.
Sweet. Yeah.
Also, Miss Gun Owner. Hello, okay, Miss Gun Owner.
I
kind
of missed that. I think I took like a sip of water during that.
Oh, what? She like, well, he was like, this one wants to take all your guns away. And then she like literally took time in her next answer because they wouldn't let her rebut it. She literally was like, I need to just address that because me and my vice president pick are both gun owners. So we are not taking people's guns away. Like, we're looking for gun reform. Thank you.
Maybe I was threading or something or in one of my group chats. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
But also
that.
Like love the pick me energy, Kamala. Yes, gun owner.
Literally, love I'm dead.
It. I'm love dead. It.
But you know what? You know what I do appreciate about that is obviously like someone that's very pro gun reform of like whatever is I do feel like there are a lot of Democrat gun owners out there. And yeah. I do think that it's important for in the gun reform conversation, they don't feel ostracized or feel like they're being like pointed at and like,
but it's also
the bad
such
guy.
A right wing, you know what I mean? Talking point that like when I think this is, it's a big moment for the Democrat running for president and vice president to be gun owners and like say that out loud is important for the overall like work of getting gun reform because the right's big argument is like they want to take all your guns away. And so just like having that to like point to if conservatives are saying that to be like, what are you talking about? Like Democrats are also gun owners. Like that's
literally,
for example, the person running for president, like, hello. I think that's important overall. And like the progress of getting like solutions is to like combat their bullshit, which I think that does.
For sure.
So love it. There's more things on my list. What else?
Keep them going. I'm obsessed with this. This is creators for Kamala. Repost us. Okay.
January 6th stuff was wild. He said, I had nothing to do.
Yeah. Sorry.
Nancy was like, Nancy was like, I don't want to be here. Like, don't bring my name into this. I had nothing to do with that except rally them. And then he goes on and says it was January 6th was done peacefully and patriotically. And I said, we got to get that soundbite, put it on the January 6th footage, which is the real depiction of what happened, run it at every NFL Sunday. Or honestly, Thursday, Sunday, Monday night football.
What about Saturday? You got to do college football.
College football. College football would be a game changer.
Yeah, can't have that fumble, okay?
Nice sports fun.
He just also, besides like looking unhinged and unwell, and obviously everything that he was saying was beyond bizarre and weird and whatever, his like whole body movements are so strange. Like there's so much of the hand and the rocking, like it's bizarre. Right.
And you know what?
Like if I literally saw him, like if I were at like a little like a hang, like a party, whatever it is, and I saw that guy, I'd be like, and I knew someone that
stomach pumped.
No, literally, I'd be like, somebody get him
somebody shove water down his throat because he's
literally like man's off his rocker.
Yeah,
overserved.
And you know what pisses me off about that is that if then you go on like Twitter and Twitter, there's all these like people tweeting that like Kamala needs to stop with her facial expressions. She's affirming a female trope. She really needs to reel in the facial expressions. I'm like,
no, she's being all of us. She's reacting literally, the way we should all be reacting. And know what I also, she's being a girl, which let's fucking go, girls. I'm sorry. It's our time. Mm-hmm. It's our moment. Like, everyone can fuck the fuck off as far as I'm concerned. But yeah. I also just think it's the permission slip to be like, just as the way that like Tim Walz says, like, these people are weirdos. She's giving everybody also a permission slip to be like, no, this is lunacy. Like, what you're hearing is crazy talk. Like, stop normalizing this because it's not normal. And that's so important.
And I think it's so much more powerful to have it be split screen when it was split screen and he was talking and I got to see her reactions. I think that's so important to be like when he says something insane for her to be mouthing like that's not true. Like just being like, so like, what are you talking about? Like that's human. Yeah. Like that's just a human reaction to some bullshit. And we got to see that. And I think that's important to see. Meanwhile, when she's speaking, like he has the dumbest poker face of all time where he just like doesn't move his face and he's like droopy and like looks like he's like weird stroke. Like, and yeah, and then he's, you know, wobbling and being old and like nobody's talking about that.
It's so wild. And it's I will say like the contrast in the media, regardless, besides just the debate, is like it's stunningly insane.
Yeah.
And part of the issue, but without going down that rabbit hole, I will say, like, one of the conversations that I was having before the debate tonight was, like, okay, like, what's the point of a debate at this point? You know, that was, like, one of the questions that was, like, asked. And what my answer was to that was that, like, this, besides that, it needed to be a space in which she was laying out policy and, like, who she is and where she stands and how she, like, reacts in real situations and things of that nature. Fine. But it's also for the people, like, the Dick Cheney voter-esque people of the world that for like the first time in their lives, they might be voting for a Democrat and they can't even believe their own eyes. You know what I mean? And they need the full validation, as crazy as that sounds to someone that like looks at like what she does as like, of course you're fucking voting for her, but they're looking at this and they need that push to be like, nope, this is the right decision. And that contrast, that split screen is exactly what does that. Because again, it shows like, no, this is why we're not voting for this guy. And this is why we need to save democracy.
People are so siloed into like the way that they consume information. Yeah. So it's like so important to see them side by side because goddamn, the contrast is vast. Like, and it's crazy that people don't just see that like from every day. But like,
also, fine. I'm sorry, but the Dick Cheney endorsement, when I tell you, I literally was like, my mother is literally like rolling over in her urn. Like, I cannot even begin. This, like, growing up in a household where, like, my family was very anti-Bush, although in later years have now found him funny, but, like, in terms of a policy perspective, right. Yeah. Like, him and Michelle Obama love their little, like, hee-hee vibes that they do. But regardless, from a policy perspective, like, absolutely not. So we had all the, like, anti-Bush mints, anti-Cheney, this, blah, 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 in the house, okay? Yeah, same, but different. Like,
Bush,
you know,
toilet paper. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the whole nine yards. And so I guess we're just as bad as the bag is in that regard. But regardless, Cheney endorsing and whatnot, I was dead. It's one of those things that will forever crack me up. I'm just like,
yeah. Can we talk about the repro section for a second?
Yeah.
Because I think, well, first of all, like, shout out to the moderators, like, across the night of, like, when things were obscene that he was saying, like, fact check, 9-month abortions. Like, thank you for the fact check. But when they were talking about the veto and Trump was like, I need to check with JD. He needs to check with JD. Give him a second.
Frat party. And he was like, I don't know if we got the beers tonight, but like, I got to check with like JD. He's like got the IDs and like, he's got his like hookup like downtown. But like,
also, that was what a loser. You sound like a loser. You have to check with your VP. And for all people in the absolute world to say that, Trump, like, I would never expect him to need to check with anyone, let alone his VP. What?
Like, the whole situation, that was hilarious. Which also,
that sent me to the moon.
Besides that, just heinous and hilarious.
Yeah.
I genuinely do not think, like, my theory is they do not communicate at all, genuinely. Do not think, like, I mean, clearly.
JD's in it for the power grab. He's never a Trump guy, you know?
Well, fair. I mean, I think he's really in it. For the just trying couches.
The couches in the White House, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, protect those. Like, I mean, well, let's not get to that point. Let's
Jackie
not have
to put rolling in her grave.
Those, literally. If he gets in there. Literally. Like, we can't have, you know, those plastic protectors that people with, like, all the cats have.
God, it's such, such a weird rumor.
We can't let the White House.
That was a rumor that was circulating in my high school about some dude, too. So it's a bad one. It's a bad rumor. It's a bad rumor. It's so weird.
That's brutal.
Wait, also back to Repro. When he was saying, like, everyone wanted abortion to go back to the states, everyone wanted it. And I'm like,
no.
Why are there ballot measures in every fucking state that has restrictive abortion bans? Say that to Kansas.
And then he, like, tried to rationalize his way out of it and, like, absolutely could not. Like, it just was like, because the math doesn't math, because it's not the reality, it's not the truth. And I'm so glad that the fact checkers also said, fuck no, you literally can't get an abortion after birth. His whole weird executing babies thing.
Yeah.
What? So unhinged, so weird, also just not obviously based in fact. Mm-hmm. And then also Kamala doubling down on it.
Oh,
wow. We know I can't get a phrase right to save my life. That's why I'm not debating.
Right.
And anyways, is like, she also said it. And I thought the reiteration of that fact was so important. And so, and to go in another direction, but off of within the same tangent of this portion of the debate, when he came for sororities, trying to, like, she was at, oh, maybe that's actually a different portion. This was actually during the foreign affairs portion. But he was trying to come for her, like, oh, she wasn't at that meeting because she was, like, at the sorority thing. I'm like, do you understand how organized sororities are when we want to do something and get something done?
Yeah.
You're an idiot. You're coming for abortion and our literally bodily autonomy. And then you're going to come for sororities?
How dare you? Tell that to the Van Roach girls.
Yeah, wow.
Wait, also, Donald Trump was fired by 80 million people. 81 million people.
Don't forget that extra.
Yeah, that's an important million. We are probably in that bunch. Us blue staters.
Look, we have a lovely stack of pink slips. This is why I ordered us extra. So overall, to conclude, I think she slayed. She literally left no crumbs. I'm sorry. I came on TikTok. I was like,
She brought Taylor Swift out. She slayed that hard.
Like, I'm sorry.
Because you know, Taylor would not have come out after a bad performance.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Immediately, no. What a night. I'm
beaming.
I don't know when I'm. I don't know how I'm going to sleep tonight.
I
need to get my sleepy time tea. I'm going immediately.
So, anyways, that's where we're at with this debate situation. Now, as much as this was fucking awesome, and we're going to be literally quoting, sharing all the things for days, we also have to focus on some of the other races happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's bring this energy into some other races, because there's so many exciting ones.
So many exciting ones. And so many just important. And how do I even describe? So many fates of states literally can, like, hinged on one race. And the person that we chatted with today, or chatted with in this interview, is one of those people. And that person is State Representative Jamie Churches in Michigan. And her seat is a key seat to keeping the Dem majority in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Shit not. So if you know a Michigan person, let them know about this episode. If you don't know a Michigan person, this bitch knows some. I don't know any Michigan people besides political people.
Well, my best friend from college, who also studied political science, is a lawyer, and is a San Diego implant in Michigan. I can maybe get her to do some organizing of her rich friends.
Is this someone who just got married?
Yes. Yes.
Gorgeous photos. We'd love to say.
Yeah.
If you can plan a wedding,
right,
you can organize a group of your friends to vote and learn about candidates. Mm-hmm. So there it is.
Well, let's introduce her.
Without further ado, here is State Representative Jamie Churches.
So I will just not get over this sweatshirt situation.
So funny. Guys, we know that political donating can be so challenging sometimes. And there is a platform that makes it so easy, and a platform, same platform, by the way, that actually makes sure that your donation is effective in making change happen. And it's called Oath. It is a political donation platform that helps you make real impact and has directed over $25 million in grassroots donations this year to critical races that will decide the future of reproductive rights, voting rights, LGBTQ+, equality, and so much more.
Yes, we love Oath. And Oath helps you find the most impactful places to give, which is really hard to nail down these days. Oath analyzes thousands of federal, state, and even local races to find which candidates can most benefit from your help and makes recommendations based on the issues you care about. It also ensures your hard-earned dollars are maximized. So Oath makes sure you don't waste your money by giving to overfunded candidates and candidates that can't win. And Oath does not take a cut of donations through the platform. And ultimately, it stops the spam. I think we all are pulling our hair out at all of these texts nonstop from political orgs, and Oath keeps donors' contact information private, so you are not spammed when you give. So go to the link in our episode description to learn more about Oath and start your political giving.
Hey, it's Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Want to skip the trial and error so you can head straight to success? Join me and incredible guests like Olympic legend Shaun White and NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski as we share the lessons and mistakes that shaped our journeys. Ready to save yourself 25 years? Tune in on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
All right. This is a very exciting episode because we have like almost like a quasi return guest, because if y'all don't know, we had Michigan State Rep Jamie Churches on when we did our live series back in the day called Keeping Up with the Candidates, back when you were literally like first running for this position. And now like we have you on the pod. So like, you know, it's like same, but different. But regardless, welcome to the show. Welcome to like the podcast world of things. And, you know, since we're mentioning that of, you know, originally chatting with you when you were first running for office, like, what is the difference between then and now? Like, how do you, you know, sort of feel about everything? Like, what do you feel like have been like the learning moments? And now the things you're like, oh yeah, of course I know this, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no. And first, thank you for having me on. And thank you for bringing just like this positivity to politics, because I think the viewpoint that you guys bring is something interesting and young and fresh. And I think what's different, my experience dealing with like things that you don't have a playbook for. I'm growing and learning all the time. So that means I'm uncomfortable a lot of times, but I get to meet a lot of interesting people. And sometimes when you get a little bit beat down in this, I think it's always great to refocus on your why. And my why continues to be these little teeny pockets moments of people. And I like right now I'm in canvas season. So just knocking on doors, and like I just spoke to a woman and she's like, I don't normally vote. Like, it's not really interested. And she's like, but like, let me know, like, tell me what's going on. And I was like, well, I'm a Democrat and like, and I care about women's rights and a free breakfast and lunch for kids. And she was like, I'm a Democrat. And I was like, it's really like your vote matters. I won by 660 votes. So, and then she was like, thanks for talking to me. And she was with her daughter and she's like, thanks for being in my neighborhood and listening to, and she shared something personal with me of why reproductive rights were important to her. So like, even this morning, I just have like a little glimmer of why people are my driving force behind this, because there's a lot of stuff that's really tough, but people like her are what keep me going and what make this worth it. And I think that's what's a little different is the level of scrutiny is higher, but the reason remains so simple and the same.
Yeah. And having those conversations, like you said, it's like such an important touch base and like grounding and why you do the work. So we love that. We love door knocking. Highly suggest everyone go do some door knocking or phone banking of some sort before Election Day. It's good to have those conversations with voters. Now in office, what legislation has really been your focus? Like, is there something you point back to of the work that you've done so far in terms of legislating?
Yeah, I mean, as a fifth grade teacher for 10 years and in my community, I would get kids prepared for active shooter drills. And they would, like, after school shooting, they would ask me, like, what happens if a shooter shoots you? Like, what do I do if I have a sibling in the school? And like, I would have to teach kids how to barricade a door. And the amount of uncertainty and the question, like the line of questioning and the thought process and those things were unsettling when, I mean, kids at school, like they want to be with their friends and color and eat snack and read, you know? So that for me was a driving force of like, I really want to make this culture different. And my first bill signed into law as being a legislator was required background checks for firearms. And we did a package of legislation that worked on gun reform in Michigan and working with my colleagues and the governor and just getting that through, I think sent a message because we had an Oxford school shooting while I was still a teacher and then the MSU like school shooting while I was a legislator. And we really used those moments of hardship to propel us. And it's not just gun reform, because that's not going to fix the problem. But we also, with our budget, made like investments in mental health and investing in how to like really treat the root cause of these things and how to service whole people and help them through so that hopefully we can have less and less occurrences of those types of traumatic circumstances.
For sure. Yeah. I think I love what you said, like the whole person, the whole issue, because I was having a conversation the other day of like, you know, and the question brought up was like, why not like, you know, go after sort of like the mental health piece? And it's like, there's not a reason not to, you know, it's sort of like, we can do that too. That doesn't mean that we like abandon also having like better gun reform policies. Like we can and should be doing both. Like one doesn't also, you know, we can solve part, if we only solve part of the problem, like we're still not, you know, going to move any, you know, any needle or anything. So I really love how, you know, you phrase that. And I'm curious to like now, you know, sort of circling back to, you know, the canvas of it all, like what issues are coming up with voters? Like, is it the gun reform and the mental health? Is it reproductive rights? Like, especially in Michigan too, which I feel like, especially with Big Gratch at the top of, you know, the ticket there, or not even the top of the ticket, just like the, you know, the top of Gov, like has, I would imagine, sort of shifted the culture a little bit.
Yeah. So my district specifically is one of the tightest, if not the tightest race in the state. So my district is a Trump plus four. So it leans really red. Whoa. So what I hear, like I'm the dangly tooth of the legislature. We have a one seat majority. So like I'm on the chopping block and that's why my seat, that's why I'm literally in my Jeep while I'm canvassing, because my opponent's also canvassing this neighborhood right now. And like, we don't, 660 votes is not going to cut it. And it may be less this time because I've been watching those trends. But I hear the large spectrum. We have a vibrant perspective, both from a Republican perspective and a Democratic perspective, and then the in-betweens. So I would say the Democrat perspective is they're like so proud of the governor. And I think reproductive rights really resonates with a lot of folks. But listening to voters, and I'm walking persuadable universes, and they're talking about immigration. And I'm a 10-minute boat ride from Canada, but they're not talking about Canadian immigration. They're talking about the southern border. So there is a little bit of confusion that I represent federal legislation instead of state. So I'm on doors because a lot of times it's an educational moment, and I also have to listen to why they're feeling those things and where they're hearing those things and why those things are concerning to them. And then also explain my role as a state level official.
Yeah, that's so important. And that's something we've talked about too with other candidates and people running, of like just that kind of education moment of trying to combat national narratives when, you know, you're a state or local candidate or rep. So yeah, I think those conversations are absolutely crucial. And I'm curious too, when we like talk about some of these national narratives, like and how they affect your race, how has the shift in the top of the ticket affected your race? Is there a pivot in strategy for you guys, or has there been more momentum, less? Like, what's it been like since the big switch? That's what I'm calling it.
For my Dems, it has been positive, uplifting, joyful. On doors, it has been harder. I think some of the people who have a different perspective, having a candidate, I think it has maybe, I mean, I would, it, this is just like assumption. So like, I don't have factual information, but I think before the argument was like, President Biden was older and he wasn't able and it wasn't fit. And I think a lot of the opposition were like, we're going to win. Like they weren't as worried. And now I think it's a little bit different to where it's a little bit going to be closer. So I think there's more divisiveness and animosity. And I mean, people, they have a company contracted. I see these folks knocking against me. They've been knocking against me since June. It is me, my face in black and white next to President Biden saying like Jamie Church's and Bidenomics. And they're doing it now. And I haven't seen the newest one, but I think with a woman, I think it's easier. And I think it's done more often to villainize us as women. I have seen it with me personally. And I think there has been kind of a more tense approach from people who have a contrasting view to me with the top of the ticket in my community, just because I do have such a vast range of perspectives here.
That is so interesting with the DNC and just like debriefing that of like, oh my gosh, we're so energized. It's so like, and I'm like in New York, it's like, oh my gosh, we're so gonna win this thing. Like just the blue wave vibes and all of that. But like, then when you actually think about like outside of that bubble, like what is the reality? So I feel like you're really in like your alley of like, okay, what does that translate to in a redder area? You know, like what do people, you know, actually feel and think and whatnot, and like do some of the, you know, the old sort of, you know, fucked up like racist misogynistic things look like in sort of this day and age, and like what that kind of comes to. And so it's interesting sort of hearing that, which unfortunately, you know, it's like, darn it, like I thought we were really onto something, but you know,
because it's like a district by district. Yeah. It really is a district by district basis. And at the end of the day, and in November, we're to go by that, right? It's like there's some districts who are more swing and, you know, Kamala being at the top is going to push it over the finish line and give us a W. And somewhere it's like maybe more like MAGA Trump is, it's actually going to make it harder. So it's really interesting to see that, because it comes down to that. It comes down to the doors. It comes down to like being in community and like feeling that on that level. So it's really interesting to hear that.
Yeah. So I didn't go to the DNC because I really wanted to, but I stayed here and did this. And like, this isn't the glamorous part. Mm-hmm. But if I take this for granted, then all of the work that we've done could be halted or undone.
Totally. Right.
Because of one seat.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy.
I can't lose that. Yeah. Like I know it's my lift, but it's a lot. Because I mean, I'm knocking doors that we have this beautiful brick colonial house, and every window, we call them Trump Christmas houses. Every window had a letter in it, and it said "Felon 2024." And in the glass of the front door was a cutout of President Trump.
Wow.
So there's just like a feeling of pride, you know, there's committedness and in the party. And I've seen houses like with a Trump sign and a Jamie Church's sign, and that's a win, you know? It's like, yeah, we're slightly changing consciousness, and we gotta allow people to come to the into the tent with us.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to hear a little bit more too about your district and like, where is it? Can you give us like the geographical breakdown as well of like, what is it like there?
Yeah, so I'm like 20 minutes out, like south of Detroit. I represent the communities of Gibraltar, Groziel, Trenton, Riverview, Wyandotte, and part of Southgate. Groziel is an island on the Detroit River, and my community is really impacted by infrastructure. Groziel obviously has bridges that have been in disrepair, so I've really advocated for funding of those county bridges and working to alleviate a toll bridge issue. And then we have lots of train crossings, and we have our fellows are late for work all the time because of the train. People get, but the biggest issue is those train crossings like sometimes inhibit us from getting to hospitals. So we've invested money in trying to build overpasses or underpasses for some of these train crossings. And then back in the day, we had a lot of investment in like the McLeod Steel site and other things, like these big businesses that had jobs have like industry have left. And then now we have this land that is polluted, that's empty, that we need to redevelop, whether that be with battery storage or revitalization or cleaning up these areas. We have to change these brownfields and make an investment so our communities can thrive and we don't just have like ugly old coal plant sitting there. We're knocking it down. We're working with community partners and making sure like our water is safe and clean because we live on these Great Lakes and we've had some pollution in the past and really working to clean up the pollution we've had and have high standards going into the future while not inhibiting businesses and manufacturing. We also have BASF, one of the largest like chemical companies in the world. Their largest North American site is in Wyandotte, which is like my, it's where I live. It's part of my district too. So making sure that, I mean, they're able to use chemistry and build these wonderful innovations, but also not leaving an imprint on our environment that's harmful to our citizens or our ecosystem.
Totally. And speaking of building things, one of the things we've seen you build is really cool ads and showing some of that on TikTok behind the scenes. So like, I'm curious like how that's all come together. Like what is like something going into that was a surprise? What was something about that you're like, this is really cool or something? Also, too, that you're like, oh, good learning moment, not doing that again.
Yeah. So, like, I can't take credit for any of it. We have a director that we work with in the area, and he's really great. So, called him for help. And then my campaign manager's little sister has been helping me with my social media because, like, I'm an elder millennial and I'm surrounding myself with these Gen Zers that know what's up. So, I like, it's the teacher in me. I like to surround myself with young people with innovative ideas who push me outside of my comfort zone. And that's kind of what I've been doing. So when they're like, okay, Jamie, like this is the trending sound or something, or like, we got to do this, but make a campaign style. I'm like, just tell me what to do. I'll do it.
I love it. I love it. I'm also curious too. I feel like I love to ask like how you kind of connect with voters too, like on a human level. And I think like TikTok is one way to do that for sure, and social media. But I'm also curious like on the doors, and especially with this like group of voters in your district who are like in this like MAGA coalition, are there things that like on a human level about you, like personality traits or whatever it is that like make you connect like human to human before you get into policy or to connect the policy? Like what does that look like for you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a teacher first and foremost, and I'm a Downriver resident. And so Downriver is like this area, we say it's down the river, right? But we call my area Downriver. And in the Metro Detroit area, Downriver is kind of seen as like, not, I don't know. It's not always seen in a positive light, but like, I love Downriver and this is where I grew up and we're right off the river. And they, I guess, when I'm on a door, the way I connect with people who have like really strong views against me that are open, like open, being a teacher, right? I'm like, I literally served your community as a teacher for 10 years, you know, like regardless of anything, that is something I've done. And they've seen me at like things I volunteered at. And a lot of times I've had people who have been Republicans are like, you taught my granddaughter or my grandson, and I'll be in a different city. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember them. There was Congresswoman Dingell. I went to the Harris event at the airport. She was like, did a rally. And I was like walking up in this field, and Congresswoman Dingell's driver was like in the field, and he like waved at me, and I went over and I was like, oh, hi, how are you? And he's like, oh, Jacob, my son had you in fifth grade. You were his favorite teacher. You made his board. And so like, he's in my district, right? I taught his kid. I'm just like at a random place, not even in my district, and making this human connection with people. So I think being a teacher, people see you as like one of them. And that really helps me. And then I think on TikTok, like learning from my Gen Zs, my fellow Gen Zers, we made a Downriver TikTok, and it was just things that people from Downriver would know. Like we have, Coney Islands are a big thing in Michigan, and there's Zorba's Coney Island. So everyone's like, oh my God, I go to Zorba's, or I eat at Sibley Gardens, or I see someone I know everywhere I go. And I've been on doors and people are like, oh, you're the politician from TikTok. And I'm like, that's me. So I didn't think that doing that would connect with people, but it made them see. I think it made some people be like, oh, she drinks coffee and she eats at the same restaurant as me, and she shops at Meijer, the same grocery store, you know? So it is who I actually am. So
yeah,
I'm just showing people, I guess.
For sure. It makes such a difference, which is like what we try to do too. Like here, it's like humanizing. It's like, you don't have to agree with every single thing that somebody feels about an issue or whatever, but like everyone is a human, like they all have experiences. Like let's have like more civil discourse and all of that. And I think that's really cool that they see that and that they, you know, learn from sort of that positioning. And I'm also curious, like from a, you know, candidate standpoint, you know, what does some of the like conversations look like with strategists from like other places too? Like, are there other, you know, reps out of state that you chat with that are in similar districts? Like,
like friends, but it's different. Like yeah. I have friends in Hawaii or West Virginia or Colorado, but we all have such unique experiences. But I think the thing for me is like these women legislators that are my friends, it's not even like they're the exact same, but they, I can, like, I got a mailer and I texted to two of my ledge girlies that legislate in other states. And I was just like, guys, like here. And it's just a bummer, but they've been sending like two negative mailers on me a week. And it's not like normal, like negative things. Like they made my skin green. Okay. So it's like a different level of like, let's villainize her kind of, yeah. like it's a Wicked Witch of the West kind of thing. So I like sent it to them and they're like, whoa, like, yikes, like that sucks. But then I can make a joke and send like a funny like image or like something to where we can like blow the steam off. But then I know at the end of the day, they know what it's like to be a woman in politics and be under a different type of microscope. But they also are there to remind me of like, hey, you're strong enough to do this. You're capable enough to do this. And we care about you. So I think that's all I really need is that human connection of like, we both are doing this unique experience in different places, but we have your back and we'll always listen. And they share stuff too. So like, I think it's just about community, really.
For sure. I think that's so crucial. It's like sometimes whatever you're doing in the space, if you're working online or in digital, or if you're a candidate running in your specific district, it can feel siloed and isolating when you're up against what you're up against and wherever you're working. And so having that community to like lean on and talk things through with and know that like, no, we're all moving together in one direction because we're all trying to achieve these things and like move this country forward and to help people's lives. And so, yeah, continue to have those conversations because I think that's what like really pushes you through. I'm curious too, before we wrap, like, can you kind of give us the state of the race in terms of like, who is this person you're running against? Like, where are we? Like, it's crunch time. What's going on?
Okay, so I don't like to focus on it, my opponent. I like to focus on me. So I that's kind of what I do. I don't know, because I don't want to give it too much breath, you know? Like, I know that I have a strong understanding of what happened in the past, and I'm really focusing on the data and what, like, Biden won one of my districts by, like, 23 votes, by one of my cities. 23 votes. And that is like a toss up for me, right? And how is it going to be for Kamala? Like, I'm not really sure. I don't really know. And how am I going to transcend that? I would say my opponent is a woman. I don't know too much about them. I've seen things, but their viewpoints are very different than mine. And that's enough for me to know that I need to focus on myself and my race and push forward, because I'm not here for anything other than making sure that the priorities that we've pushed forward this last year are protected and expanded, and we can continue this work. And I mean, I'd like to expand our majority too. So it's not like one seat that we have and we're able to do this, because it's a lot of pressure. So right. I have someone in a neighboring district, and she's running to try and flip a seat. So I've been uplifting her like every moment that I possibly can, because I really want a downriver girly to join me in the legislature. So I'm not like alone over here hanging out. And not that I am alone, I have support. But like you said, you do feel really isolated, and it's a strange experience. And it's hard to explain if you're not in it and you're not here. But I think as a woman in the seat, what I have learned is, like, we have a lot of work to do making this a safer place for women to run for office. And even some of the experiences that I've gone through this cycle, I have found unacceptable. And I think we can make some legislation so that it's not as bad in the future, because I think some of the highest forms of leadership in our government have set such a terrible example of how to treat people and what type of treatment of people is acceptable. And unfortunately, it has bled all the way down to state and local level, to where when I'm in community, like, people think it is okay to treat people in a certain way. So Republican or Democrat alike, I just want us all to be able to have alternate perspectives and set a better example. And that's like what I'm trying to strive for. It might be far reaching, but
so valid. And I think, again, another example of like something that probably feels isolating for you, but is really a problem across the country. And I think like it's a standard we need to continue to chip away at, that we need to do better, you know? Well, to wrap, can you please tell everyone where they can find you, support your race, and just stay in touch?
Yeah. So I'm on all socials, Jamie_Churches. I spell my name like Jaime, J-A-I-M-E, and then Church with an E-S. And we also have a website. So check out our website. It shows my priorities over there. If you're interested in donating, there is an Act Blue link that's we can take all the donations. And if you're interested in volunteering, like, fill out the volunteer. It's on the website. We have virtual phone banking opportunities. We do postcarding. And if you're in the Metro Detroit area, then canvassing, we always like fellows to join us. So that would be great. And thank you for having me. Thank you for the work you do, like, spotlighting important things in politics and making it so like multiple generations can find avenues of interest in this area.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for coming on.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.